Now, if you, as we do, enter the premises of companies or residential estates these days, you might see it's fairly common to be asked by a security guard for your ID book, your driver's license, which they then scan. You may find it invasive, as we do, but because you're entering private property, you permit that scan, right? Now, Justice Project South Africa head Howard Dembowski has voiced his concerns about the system. He spoke to Business Insider about why we ought to be careful about this, and he joins us now to speak about it in a bit more detail. Howard, thanks so much for your time this evening. What are your reservations about this system?
Good afternoon to you, Jane. Good afternoon to the listeners. I think the reservations are very much similar to the reservations that the caller just pointed to, and that is what happens to your information and for how long it is actually stored. The information that is available from scanning your driving license in particular is very sensitive information and can be used for nefarious purposes. You know, it's all very well saying that the license disc of your motor vehicle openly displays the vehicle identification number and the like. I agree with that. But the counter argument that your driving license displays similar information is a bit of a disingenuous one, because I've met very few people who will go and park their car in a public place and leave their driving license on the dashboard for criminals to come and have a look at and get that information. Now, with the combined information that is stored on your license disc and in your driving license, it is possible to commit innatus fraud, transfer vehicles out of a person's name, and to register vehicles in their name. And that is a great concern. And as I said before, the length of time that data is stored for and the security of that data is very questionable. And it's a little bit optimistic to say security companies know what their responsibilities are, because, quite frankly, they keep on opting out of their responsibilities when it comes to things like this.
Yes. I mean, you're talking about the information being stored on a central server. I suppose one of the questions that arises around that is, for how long it's stored, who can access that server, I think you've already partly covered what could happen if that kind of information, including your home address and the like, got into the wrong hands.
Well, precisely. The thing is that look, the second that you store any form of information on a computer, it's vulnerable to interception, either via hacking or via means that are provided by employees. And, you know, there's no such thing as a secure database that's online. Need I remind everybody of the fact that our very Department of Home Affairs was hacked and our personal information leaked not that long ago. So, you know, it's a little bit optimistic to say, well, we take all the necessary security measures. And I see that one of the people that had right of reply in that article said, well, they have adopted a policy of a single user sign-on and password. Well, that's not security, with the greatest of respect to anybody. You know, just having one single username and password actually opens it up to even more vulnerability, in my view, rather than adding security to it. So, if the problem is not with honest people, let's be very frank here.
Sure.
You know, if honest people want to know who's coming to their premises, that's all very well and good. The problem comes in where dishonest people get involved in that chain. And unfortunately, there are a lot of dishonest people out there. We live in a crime-ridden country where identity theft is more common than anyone would wish to think it is. And, you know, to just store people's data irresponsibly is highly irresponsible. And I have to ask the question, if it was a requirement of one of these security estates that you hand them your banking card and you give them your PIN, would you do that?
That's a good question, Howard. Tato in Sachsenwald is on the line to us. I want to quickly take a call from him. Tato, what's your comment on this?
Hi, Joanne. Hi, Tato. I just think, you know, it's quite good and well that they're collecting our information, but especially for residential complexes, I'd probably suggest that they have some sort of an app where they just the onus is on the residents to basically input that information into an app that will be erased after probably 7 days or whatever. Because what happens is, if it's stored in a local database, we don't know how long it's stored for. Yes. Secondly, if you need to find someone, so for example, if something does happen, I'm assuming that the complexes already have security cameras. So by virtue of that, we can find out who they went to visit. And from there, then we can hold the resident to account as well. So that was my solution to it.
Tajo, thank you so much for that call. I wish we'd kept Howard on the line just for a second to comment on that. But a very interesting suggestion from Dato there that we actually be able to link this to the resident who was being visited, or indeed the company that's being visited, if that is relevant at all.